Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 2022. Happy New Year. You're all very welcome. Hope you've all survived the holidays. And I know we did. we had a good holiday, good week. Christmas and after Christmas. So this is, as we start this new year, today we're going to be in Psalm 119. Next week we'll return to our series in Romans that we set aside during the December. You know, the last 2 years have tested us in ways that we've not been tested before. There, you know, has not been a war between nations, yet we have lived through lockdowns and restrictions that are more typical during military conflicts. The supply chain for foods and household goods have been disrupted, and we've noticed that shelves are not as full as they had been, and we see prices going up. Yet that's not due to dangers of war, but more of the fears of a virus. There's been a division between people, not due to political or military idealism, but the rights to personal opinion. An unseen enemy has caused the world to stop and has created a division that crosses every boundary, church and state. Some people have used this time wisely and have sought a closer relationship with God. Most have not. And I'm not talking just about people in the church, I'm just talking about all people. Most have not, but they've taken sides that has caused the division to grow even wider amongst people. Now, personal opinion is not what matters. The world is full of personal opinions. Look at the newspaper, listen to the news, look at whatever online news you normally do, it's all full of personal opinion. Walk into a socially distanced room of 10 people and you will have 10 personal opinions. And to be honest, I'm tired of personal opinions. That's my personal opinion on the subject. These last 2 years have mentally worn me out. I ask myself, who am I? What am I doing here? Whose opinion truly matters? And in the grand scheme of humanity, I'm just another soul in this world being bombarded by worldly opinions. And I feel like, most of the time, like a salmon swimming upstream. So the question remains, who am I? What am I doing here? Whose opinion really matters? Well, it's God's opinion. God's word is what matters. Dale Losh, the president of Crossworld, our mission agency, he was the main speaker at our conference that we attended in October. He gave 5 sermons concerning the Word of God. And in the last sermon, he said, if you don't love God, you can't love God's Word. You can't have one without the other, because they are one and the same. God is what matters. What God says, whether we like it or not, is what matters. We cannot pick and choose what we like and cut out what we don't like. The answer to the other question, who am I, is also in today's reading. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ and a Christian by word and deed, then I am 2 things. To God, I am a servant. I serve God with my whole heart and mind, looking forward to the day when I will be with Him in heaven. And to the world, I am a sojourner, an alien. I am just passing through because I do not belong to this world. I belong to God. I am his and he is mine. Yet while I'm passing through this wicked, opinionated, godless world, I am a servant of the living God by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will have ears to hear. I am a sojourner and a servant. And that is how the psalmist described himself in this portion of the psalm. Most of this section of Psalm 119 is a series of short prayers with a couple of statements. As a servant and a sojourner, God's word is of vital importance. Without God's word, we are lost in the false opinions of this world. So I felt God wanted me to share about the importance of his word, to start the new year out, about the importance of his word and what it means to us in our lives. So it'll be Psalm 119, and it's the third section, Aleph, Beth, and Gimel. So Gimel is where we'll be, verse 17. It's the third section, verses 17 to 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. What are the main reasons you pray for yourself? You might be repenting of sins that need to be voiced to God. You may pray for your own health and strength. You may pray for God to give you wisdom and discernment so that you can make a good decision. You may pray for the Lord to reveal his truth in Scripture to you. You pray that you have a better understanding of Scripture. All of that is within these first two verses. Verse 17 is a prayer for physical needs, and verse 18 is the spiritual aspect. You know, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he was an Anglican pastor. He was asked, how does a Christian stay close to the Lord? And his first response was prayer. We must pray for humility, because then we have a teachable spirit and ready to listen to what God is saying to us. And his second answer was attention to the Scripture. And he said the answer is in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question. By guarding it according to your word, guarding his life according to your word. All of Psalm 119 is about God's word. And Newton said that the precepts are our rule and delight, and the promises are our strength and encouragement. So let's look at how the psalmist prayed. First, he identifies himself as a servant. It's not just a laborer for any man or for a job, but as your servant. A servant of the God of Israel. A servant of the one who redeemed him and saved him. When you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, you are placing your whole life in his keeping. You willingly submit your life to Christ. You become a servant of the living God. And as a servant of God, he asks that God deal bountifully with him, with the condition being that he may live and keep his word. Now, there is a lot that's packed in those two words, deal bountifully. The psalmist leaves the details to God. Deal bountifully is asking for God's provision in everything. Day-to-day sustenance, health, welfare, protection from enemies, relationships with other people. Now we might pray like this: God, there's so much to ask for. So many details in life. Please just take care of me and my family. You know our needs. You know our situation. Please just deal bountifully with your servant. Now, why did he pray this? Because God's word is life and worthy of keeping. Keeping God's word means we live by God's standards on a daily basis. We follow Christ's example of being servants to other people, showing compassion, caring for the sick, the widows, orphans, and people on the fringes of society. We care for our neighbors. We share the gospel wherever we go. All of that and more is keeping God's word. And the other reason is that God's word is life. After Moses finished sharing the history of Israel and preaching the law to the people of Israel, he had these last words to say, and this is all in Deuteronomy, but in Deuteronomy 32, Moses said, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life." God's word is our very life. Think about it. What does that mean to you? For me, it is the promise of eternal life, the encouragement on days when I am down. And God's word is my strength when I feel I am done. Later in verse 105, the psalmist will say, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." My life is guided by God's word. During the last 2 years, when the world truly seemed mad and just seems getting madder, more so than in previous years, the only constant guiding light was God's word. It is the only truth that breaks through the lies of this world. But he not only prayed for his physical needs, but for his spiritual needs. He said, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." The intensity of the Hebrew is that he wants to gaze intently, to study at profound and amazing things that God has done. The greatest story of the Old Testament that is referred to throughout the Bible is the Exodus out of Egypt. Everything that God did in providing protection for Joseph's family at the beginning, to bringing them out of Egypt via the 10 plagues 400 years later, from the crossing of the Red Sea to caring for their daily needs during 40 years of wandering in the desert, ultimately bringing them into the Promised Land. Pick a moment and it is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is amazing. We want our eyes open to God's wonderful words of life. Remember in Luke 24, after the resurrection, two were walking on the Emmaus Road and Jesus joined them, yet they didn't recognize him. And after a brief discussion with the two men, Jesus said, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. After he did this, they urged Jesus to join them for dinner, and he did. And after he said the blessing, their eyes were opened to notice that it was Jesus. And as soon as they recognized him, he vanished from them. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures?" That's what we want from the Lord. Our eyes open to his word and our hearts burning to understand his truth. Now, during the last decade or so, many people have been displaced from their homes when more than any other time during at least the last 100 years, but it rivals anything in recorded history. Due to war and famine, tens of millions of people have become refugees, seeking shelter and asylum in other countries. We have seen the images of overcrowded boats and detention centers. They seek shelter, safety, and eventually hoping for a citizenship within a country. But until that time, they are aliens. They are sojourners, a people without a country. They have no rights of citizenship. There is no promise of a future for them, and they are truly hopeless. It is a dire situation for millions of people, and many of the countries they try to enter are not prepared for a massive influx of new people. It creates a burden on the healthcare and the housing situations. Well, our psalmist calls himself a sojourner, an alien. And he readily admits it. I am a sojourner on the earth. Notice that he stipulates where he sojourns. He is an alien on the earth. He readily admits that the earth is not his home. He is only passing through. His only prayer in these two verses is that God would not hide his commandments from the psalmist. I have no citizenship on this world. This world is not mine, and I have no rights as a citizen here. I am just passing through on my way to a heavenly land. That is the thought of the psalmist. And as he wanders, he is consumed with one thought. He longs for God. He longs for everything about God. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Notice the intensity of the thoughts about God. My soul, my whole being is consumed. There is no distraction, but he focuses his whole being towards God. He wants to be totally consumed in his devotion for God. Totally consumed in his longing, his desire for God. Is this a once in a while thing? Is this a passing fad that will be set down and forgotten for something new? No, he is consumed with longing at all times. Every moment of every day, his thoughts are about the Lord and his rules, his laws, his commandments. Now, Jesus told his disciples in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Our home is not this world. No matter how much we think we love the things of this world and the beauty of this world, it is not our home. If we are followers of Christ, then we are only sojourners, aliens, passing through this world and looking forward to a better home. The writer of Hebrews said, these all died in faith, talking about in chapter 11, all the different people of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. So if you're talking like that, saying you're a sojourner and an exile, then you're making it clear that you are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Our home is a heavenly home that God has prepared, and he is not ashamed to be called our God. Yet while we are sojourners in this world, then we will be hated and despised, as Jesus said. So now the psalmist prays for protection. If we don't belong in this world, then the world is a dangerous place. Jesus said, they hate me, so they will hate you. Jesus didn't sugarcoat the issue. And the psalmist gives us a good description of the world, and then he prays for protection from the world. The psalmist states that God rebukes the insolent, the accursed ones, and those who wander from God's commandments. Someone who is insolent is presumptuous, proud, arrogant, and self-sufficient. They expect that everything is for them and get angry when they don't get their way. They serve only themselves, and they suffer loudly when they are wronged. The world thinks that they can generate love within themselves, and the only love that man can generate within himself is the erotic love, that it's a tainted love, a false love, a love that will always fail. Only through God can we have a love that never fails. The three descriptions of people can be seen like this. Towards God, they are insolent. They are proud and arrogant. Under God, they are accursed. God has rebuked them, and they will be judged by their actions and their rejection of God. And within themselves, they wander along and stray from God's commandments. They have nothing to do with God. They do not walk in the way of the Lord, and they enjoy harassing people as they go. They are proud, as I said, they are proud, presumptuous, rebellious, arrogant. They deny God, and they're hostile to the godly. And so his prayer is for protection. Take away from me scorn and contempt. Scorn and contempt can come from any person who denies God. It comes from the insolent, the accursed ones, those who wander from God's commandments. They can come from a stranger or, unfortunately, from a family member. In Southeast Asia, a Miss Pim, a widowed lady who is a follower of Christ, has faced scorn and contempt from her own family. Miss Pim has two daughters and a son. All of them live far away from her. All three refuse to take her in or take care of her at all because of Miss Pim's faith in Jesus Christ. The local church heard about Miss Pim's situation and wanted to help. Financial support through Asia Link, which is one of our mission groups that we support, enabled the church to purchase all the necessary building materials. And so financial support through Asia Link helped provide all the building materials, and today Miss Pim has a home of her own. So although her family want nothing to do with her, she says she isn't lonely. The Christians in the village are her new family, and they help take care of her. The psalmist prayed to God to protect him because he has kept God's promises. He is not giving God a guilt trip, nor is he saying that he has done good work, so God owes him something, that God must protect him. No, he is stating that he has been a faithful witness to the Lord. He is a servant of God, and he desires protection from the world. Miss Pim is a faithful servant to the Lord, and the Lord provided for her in miraculous ways that she never expected. The psalmist closes section with statements about his faith in God and his devotion to God's word. You know, contrasts are a way of comparing one against another. The Bible's full of contrasts, light and darkness. Those who live in darkness have seen a great light. We just talked about that during Advent. The darkness of this world and the light of the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, the perishing and the redeemed, rejecting God and accepting God. I could list another 20 contrasts and still have more to share. And this section of Psalm 119 has a few of those. A servant of God versus the princes of this world. A sojourner compared to the residents of this world. A longing for God's word and a wandering from God's word. And verse 23 is the last contrast in this set of verses. The psalmist contrasts the plots of the world versus God's word. Which one is important to him? Whose opinion does he favor? Even though princes sit plotting against me, those princes represent the people of this world and who are the insolent, the accursed, the ones who wander away from God's word. The princes represent the people who scorn and mock and are full of contempt towards anyone who loves God's word. Do these people have anything worthy to say? No. Their thoughts are only evil, only against God and only against God's people. Their opinions are worthless and meaningless. Now, how do we know this? Because if you compare their plots, their conspiring against God's word, their words are like withered grass. It dries up and fades away. The psalmist says, I, your servant, will meditate on your statutes. He made a decisive decision and reminded us that he is a servant of the living God. And he will meditate on God's word. God's word is not an occasional idea. It's not an option. Like when he gets into a bind and needs help, then he turns to the scriptures for guidance. No, it's a decisive statement saying, I will. There is no hesitation or conditions. I will meditate. And meditation is not just a reading of the word of the Bible, ticking the box for the day, and setting it aside until tomorrow. It is actively engaging in the reading of the Bible. It is reading, studying, and praying about what you just read. Now, if I read Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, then I need to meditate on just that phrase before I go further. I need to ask myself, am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed to be connected with Jesus? Am I ashamed to be known as one of his followers? If so, why am I ashamed? What do I need to correct in my life? I need to pray and ask God for forgiveness and to strengthen my faith so that I am not ashamed. That's what it means to meditate on God's word. Praying and applying God's word to your life. It will never mean that God needs to adjust to you, but you need to adjust your life to him. Now, what are the scriptures to the psalmist? What do they mean to him? God's word is my delight and my counselors. God's word encourages us, strengthens us, gives us joy. I mean, we sing the song, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. God's word is the joy and delight of his life, and it is the guide in which the psalmist lives, the lamp to his feet and the light to his path. God's word shows us the way that we should go and how we should live, how we should react to the world. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Since Jesus is the Word, and then Jesus is my delight and my counselor. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life and the living water. Scripture points us to Jesus, and he is our salvation for eternal life. So back to my original questions of who am I? What am I doing here? Whose opinion really matters? Well, I am a servant of God, and I am a sojourner in this world. I am only passing through. But while I am here, I live by God's truth, and I am guided by God's word, including the great commission given us by Jesus to teach the nations all that he taught us until he returns. Why? Well, because his opinion, his word, is what matters. What is God's word to me? If I don't love God, then it means nothing. But if I am a follower of Jesus Christ and love him, then my soul must be consumed with a longing at all times for God's word. Let me share a list of five things that God's word is to me. And this list is endless, so I am limiting it to five things. And also, these are five things that, as I mentioned, Dale Losh earlier, in his last sermon, these are five things that he mentioned as well. And I've just added on to them a bit. But these are five things that God's word is to me. And the first is life. I've already read Deuteronomy 32, that God's word is your very life. But Peter said in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And God's word to me is himself. John 1:1, I just read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. So God's word to me is Jesus, himself. God's word is also answered prayer. To me, it's answered prayer. We must be immersed in God's word, and our prayers should come from the scriptures. Read through Psalm 119. It'll take you about 30 minutes. Look closely at the verses. Notice how many times the verses are actually short prayers to God, asking for guidance, for knowledge, for protection, for understanding, for many things. But then notice the following verses from those prayers are usually answers to those prayers. God's word is answered prayer to me. God's word is also freedom. In John 8, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, George Mueller said, the most important thing was to have my soul happy in the Lord. Only Christ can bring us true freedom and happiness. And God's word is a source of blessedness. And there are so many verses that could be used. Luke 11:28 says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. God's word is blessed. It's a blessing. So as we start this new year, my prayer for myself and for all of you is that our souls are consumed with the longing of God's word at all times. Verse 20. That we, as servants of God and as sojourners in this world, that we not just read the Bible, but we study it and meditate upon it. And I pray that we place God's opinions above other men, including ourselves. And that God's word is truly our delight and our guide in all that we do.